Have you been wondering how to affordably fix that crack in your wall or any plaster repairs? Well, Leo is your man. Recently relocated to the Cleveland area from Rhode Island, Leo is an expert in this field with over 30 years' experience, especially on those difficult ceiling or wall textures. Call Leo at 401-651-5757 and be sure to save his number. Once again, that's 401-651-5757.
Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife, best friend, and a deep thinker, Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and shalom, saints of God. We are very glad you have tuned in tonight, and we want to remind our listeners that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. Please bow your hearts with us in prayer.
Okay, Father God, we humbly approach your throne of grace as we thank you for showing mercy to all of us. May we strive now even more passionately to help build your kingdom. Grant us your shalom during these uncertain times that demand courage to speak the real truth, while showing genuine love and compassion to anyone that you put in our path. Watch over President Trump, bless our listeners, hear their prayers, and may this program glorify you only. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Well, last Tuesday, we had just found out about President Trump's decision to drop out of Obama's 2015 Iran deal. Needless to say, some European countries are unhappy due to the fact that they have invested millions of dollars with Iran, you know, like through their many business ventures. So now they stand to lose a lot unless they choose to stay in, but then jeopardize their relationship with the United States, who might even consider sanctioning those who continue to work with Iran.
Yeah, it looks like we're making more enemies than friends.
Well, there is talk of President Trump renegotiating the Iran deal in a much fairer way, and that might work to turn Iran around.
Okay, right. Just look at North Korea.
Oh, yeah. Who would have ever thought such an amazing change could ever have happened? Well, except the Bible says they will say peace and security and a one-world order.
Yes, it does.
Meanwhile, President Trump has even more so made some solid, good friends in Israel. Now that the United States Embassy has been officially open for business yesterday in West Jerusalem.
Yeah, a historic day yesterday.
For sure.
What, if any, news have you heard about East Jerusalem?
Well, since that leak came out on May 4th about Jerusalem's division as part of the president's peace plan, you know, all is quiet. I haven't heard any more leaks, and from those who did read it, most just can't believe it. But we know that it will happen.
Because the Bible says it will.
When it will happens to be the question, right, and our clue as to when the trumpet sounds. As expected, we will be closely monitoring the situation with further information as we get it. And the Hamas-led Gaza riots peaked yesterday on both the northern Israeli border and the Egyptian southern borders, with a dozen other rallying points all along in between, as the ramped-up Israel forces did what they had to do yet again. Thousands were injured, mostly from tear gas inhalation, with approximately 60 out of about 50,000 protesters were killed.
Hamas, is also being funded by Iran.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then also some Palestinians were rioting yesterday in the West Bank over the opening of our embassy, too.
So June 12th is going to be an important day.
Yes. The North Korean Trump summit in Singapore, that's looking very good. And honestly, President Trump wouldn't be engaged as he is if his new Secretary of State, Pompeo, didn't already assure him it's a done deal. This is all part of the world peace that is also talked about in Scripture. In fact, honey, I'm going to have you read from 1 Thessalonians 5 in a minute, but first let me preface that. When the words are used either of they or them, it's more often than not a synonym for the unrighteous, particularly after the rapture. But we are already hearing the phrase peace and safety or security being thrown around a lot lately. So,
also world peace is used a lot.
That's right, it is. Okay, let's read verse 1.
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you are yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
And that's great news to all believers, because labor pains is an idiom for the tribulation.
That's right, and we will not be there.
Oh, and one last thing. Let us not forget to pray for our fellow Hawaiians. Another fissure has recently opened from its erupting Kilauea volcano, with more likely to come. So, I mean, really, I can't even imagine opening my front door and seeing lava heading toward me.
Yeah,
pretty devastating.
Yeah,
that'd
be pretty bad. Yeah. Okay, we welcome your comments and your end time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or call the office, leave a detailed message, 2440-834-9006, and we'll call you back usually within 24 hours. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And we do need your help to stay on the air. Your love offerings are much welcomed and very much appreciated. And we will be sure to include you in our monthly updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
All right, then. What special day is coming up this Sunday?
Pentecost or Shavuot.
Yes, the fourth fulfilled appointment by our Lord.
He sent his Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2.
Yes. As you know, he literally fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. Then 50 days later, on the anniversary of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, sent his Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you know, five is penta in Greek, right. Hence called Pentecost.
That's right. And as you said, also called Shavuot in Hebrew, which literally means weeks, because it's 7 weeks from the Feast of First Fruits. Officially speaking, this is considered the birth of the church as a whole unit. Now, the bride is betrothed, just like the Hebrews did at Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost, which, by the way, came 50 days after the Red Sea crossing on their calendar, Nisan 17, which is an antitype of Jesus' resurrection on the same anniversary date, Nisan 17. Freed from their enemies into a new life.
So the first four feasts have been literally fulfilled by Jesus.
And as sure as we are speaking to you tonight, we can assuredly know that Jesus will keep his last three appointments scheduled in the fall, some year as well.
Amen to that.
The Feast of Pentecost must always be on a Sunday. And so, Dan, could you read Leviticus 23, beginning verse 15?
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath,
which is a Sunday,
from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering.
Now, that would be the first fruits of the barley. That this was the resurrection day, also always on a Sunday.
And seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
So again, always on a Sunday. Unfortunately, today's Jews do not follow the Sunday rule. They count from the high Sabbath of unleavened bread instead. So first fruits seldom falls on a Sunday. Thereby, their Pentecost, as well, seldom falls on a Sunday either. The reason, some say, is because we consider first fruits the day of Christ's resurrection, which it is, and they wanted to distance themselves from that, and now they just go by their tradition.
But unscriptural.
Yes. So, please continue in verse 17 of Leviticus 23.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah.
And that's about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of fine flour.
Means finely sifted.
They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Now the wheat has started to come in and continues till the end of the fall season. Now, being told they should now eat the bread with leaven, when Passover is absolutely no leaven, gives us a great insight.
Well, you know, leaven is a type of sin.
Yes, always it is. And Jesus was without sin. The unleavened bread from heaven who would take away the sins of the world. So now on Pentecost, they could eat leavened bread. Why? Because he took our leaven to the grave. Now, free from the bondage that sin produces and, more importantly, have been set free from the debt of sin that must be paid and by the blood of a sinless life. Before Jesus, they were atoned by the blood of animals.
Then Jesus came to pay it forever.
Yeah, that's right. So those who refuse to accept that he paid the debt by believing in him and making him Lord over their life, well, then they can choose to pay their own debt in hell.
Well, you know what they say, stupid is as stupid does.
Oh, God, yes, okay. Yeah, it is kind of stupid. And another great insight is that at Pentecost, they were to offer two loaves of leavened bread to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace. Let me say one more time, Pentecost reinforces his promises to us. Sin and its consequences are no longer a burden to carry.
Amen. The ultimate sacrifice has been achieved. Praise the King.
Oh, some Bible teachers that haven't thoroughly studied Hebraic roots are saying that the rapture might occur on a Pentecost some year. And by the way, if you don't say which year, then you are not a date setter. Just had to throw that in there. But we happen to think that the rapture is likely to occur on the birthday of Adam, which is also the next appointment needing to be fulfilled, called Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year.
Also called the Feast of Trumpets.
Yes. But we cannot give a year, and Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, so we can't even say which day, and certainly not a literal hour.
Especially with all the time changes in the world.
Yeah, right, but... But we do look for clues, and as we have said many times before, the biggest clue is the dividing of Jerusalem, as we are now closely watching for. Anyhow, I said all that to say that not only has Pentecost already been fulfilled with the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It is not the day that Paul said we would be caught up. He was specific when he used the very common expression in those days for Rosh Hashanah in 1 Corinthians 15:51, and it was the first time he was so detailed and so preceded it with the fact that he was about to reveal a mystery.
Meaning, never revealed before.
Saying that we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Now, there are three trumpet type idioms or expressions used to refer to three different feast days. Let me tell you what they are. There's the first trump, the last trump, which by the way is not the seventh trump of Revelation, and the great trump, or shofar in Hebrew. Let me explain. 50 days after escaping Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah commandments, as well as his promises, if they would remain faithful to him only. On this day, God sounded for all to hear the first shofar ever recorded in the Bible. That's in Exodus 19. Thus, the expression first shofar became an idiom or another name for Pentecost. And as I said, a betrothal covenant was made, like an oath between God and his people. We read in Exodus 24 where the people answered, and I quote, "All the words that Yahweh has said, we will do." Well, it's the same with us. When we become born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding except for adultery, and in God's case, spiritual adultery with foreign gods. Well, the last trump is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah due to the fact that they would blow 100 shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah, and the last one made their new year official. So this feast became known as the last trump that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? And then you have the great trump, and that's the other shofar idiom, which was blown in Yom Kippur, especially important in a Jubilee year, according to Leviticus 25. So anyhow, to say the resurrection slash rapture is on the day of the first trump, when we have scripture saying it's the last trump, I must go along with scripture. Okay, here's another gold nugget. After Jesus' resurrection and being seen for 40 days and getting ready to permanently ascend to heaven, he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days. Why? Well, because he would keep his fourth appointment of the seven by sending them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But have you ever wondered, since we are seeing how important dates are to God, what might have happened in the wilderness 40 days after they left Egypt, which would be 10 days before the first Pentecost? Well, I surely did. So I carefully calculated from the book of Exodus, and you can do this as well. It's very interesting. But just a few days before the 40th day after the Red Sea crossing, which would be ER 25 on the Hebrew calendar, anyway, after much complaining, the Hebrews received their manna from heaven that tasted like honey. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, in Luke 24, also gave them bread and honey around the same time? Anyway, the next day they were told about the rock that would give them their water of life, and then the next day, on day 40, was the probable day that Moses led his men in the fight against the Amalekites in Exodus 17. Remember, he held up his arms, and when he did that, he would be winning. But when he put him down, he would be losing. So Aaron held up his Moses' arms for him. Well, that lifting up of one's hands is forming God's initial. It's called the Sheen. I've talked about this before. The first letter in Shaddai kind of looks like a W in English. Then God won that battle for them, which, by the way, were the giants and the descendants of the Nephilim in the territory called Rephidim. So picture this. The 40th day from his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven. But what did he do as he was going up? According to Luke 22:50, Jesus raised his arms and blessed the people. And Mark adds that his name would, that if in his name we would have power over demons. Again, by raising up your hands, you are using the name of God, which is why Paul in 1 Timothy 2 commands all men to lift up holy hands. That's why you're making God's initial. Moses, who is a type of Christ, lifted his arms up to defeat the demonic enemies. And Jesus also lifted up his arms on the same anniversary date, giving us the Great Commission and blessing us as he went to heaven. It's just amazing. So, 10 days later, the Hebrews then would receive their Torah at Mount Sinai as well. 10 days after Jesus ascended, he sent his Holy Spirit for power over our enemy and to better understand the Torah, which is our Bible, and to get the real purpose of it. Pentecost also marks the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War, when Israel won back Jerusalem. Again, a type of their win over the Amalekites in the same time frame many centuries before. I hope you really think about all this, because it's just amazing to me. And also, the divided tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2 that landed on the believers, well, I saw a picture of that, and yes, it looks just like a sheen. You know, that fancy W in English. God placed his initial on each of them as his seal of the Holy Spirit. This sheen that represents his name is also in Jerusalem, placed there with the three major valleys that I talk about a lot, that's actually embedded into the landscape. Helps you really understand how God said to make sacrifices in the place where I have chosen to put my name, 1 Kings 11 and Deuteronomy 16. Well, also, the Jewish people read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost because it commemorates their receiving their law of instructions. But another tradition, which began later, is the reading of the Scroll of Ruth. Why did you add that? Why did they add that, you might ask? Because the fact, well, not only the fact that Ruth was David's great-grandmother, it tells the story of a Gentile Ruth falling in love with Israel and the people, who marries the Jewish man Boaz, who is a picture of our marriage to Jesus, the kinsman redeemer, who redeemed back the land for her Jewish mother-in-law, as Jesus soon will. So anyway, a complete study of the Book of Ruth is archived on our radio programs starting dated 5/20/2014. And it goes on for 5 weeks. If you haven't heard that, you might want to listen to that verse-by-verse study. So anyway, the story of Ruth is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about Israel too. To embrace Israel like Ruth did. That is, if we truly love Jesus. For now, we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day, all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian, too. So, get a hold of that. Romans 11, Galatians 3. So, this Sunday, read the Book of Ruth as a family. Explain it to your children, your grandchildren. But let me ask you, do you have the blood of Jesus flowing through your heart? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now. Jesus is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for sins. Grab it now, unless you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. Always your choice. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122, verse 6. Also be sure to pray for our president and pray for the will of God to continue. And I'll talk to you next week. God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.